Lies of P. It's a game with giant killer puppets. One of them is a hulking metal bobby with a spinning clockwork head. But don't be fooled by the hat. We're not in Victorian England, and this is not steampunk. Rather, this is Belle Epoque punk. Inspired by late 19th century Paris, the game borrows liberally from the lavish architecture, furniture, and aesthetic of the age. What that means for this video is we'll be looking at cabinets, and windows, and lampposts, and chairs. The killer puppets we'll ignore for the time being. This is a laid-back architectural tour of Gothic Paris in Lies of P. Step your beautiful puppet self off the train and look around. This marvelous feat of engineering was inspired by the great glass and iron train stations of Europe. Stations such as King's Cross in London and Gare de Lyon in Paris. Large span roofs such as this one were made possible by the use of cast iron. Beneath the roof stand tall lattice columns that might make one think of the Eiffel Tower. They're painted green, much like the ones in the Grand Palais. There's an elaborate lunette at the back of the shed and the front of the station, which possibly takes inspiration from the Gare de l'Est. In the station lobby, a church-like rotunda where carved faces watch balefully from above, you'll find a statue of a fashionable-looking lady. She holds a plaque commemorating the Grand Exhibition of 18-something or other. Knowing the setting is based on Paris and taking that final nine into account, one could fill in the crosses to make 1889. This would be the year that Paris hosted the world and world-famous exhibition centered on the Eiffel Tower. The full game looks set to feature an exhibition building, one likely inspired by the ornate palais of this age. When designing the environment for Lies of P, the arts team focused on the concept of Gotham Paris, and so the scenery is steeped in Gothic elements, the weather being one. Everything is foggy, dark, thundery, and crow-laden. Imagine this game was set during the bright sunny day. The landscape would lose its sense of mystery, and those puppets look more slapstick than sinister. Take this statue in the center of the station plaza. It shows Valentinus, the leader of the alchemists, with a hanged man tied to his arm, wearing the black tattered robe. He's a death-like figure, not too tourist-friendly. All around him are traditional Parisian apartment houses, decked out in Art Nouveau fittings, typical of the era. In the distance is the fantastically tall Hotel Krat, its roof adorned with Gothic spires. This opening view gives us a strong taste of what to expect stylistically from the game. It's Belle Epoque, it's punk, it's pastiche, and yet it's Gothic through and through. Hotel Krat may as well be called Castle Krat. As the player makes their approach, the buildings shorten and take on a more rustic flavour. This is the working people's quarters, where washing still hangs up on the line. Further on, the courtyard sends the player further back in time. There's exposed stonework, Gothic pinnacles and castle-like turrets. Then archways with classical friezes and more corner turrets. Lots of turrets. The low stone wall is patterned with quatrefoil motifs, a common element in Gothic architecture. This lends the hotel a historical dimension. It has, to use a trite phrase, a long and storied past. In 19th century Europe, hotels gained more importance as railways evolved, with the grandest of hotels borrowing from palace architecture. A great railway station was almost always built alongside a grand hotel, situated just a stone's throw away. These buildings served to showcase the city's wealth to a new, more leisured class of travellers. With improved technology came a demand for luxury and comfort. This was reflected in the architecture itself. Buildings may have maintained the proportions of the classical order. However, more attention was devoted to ornamentation. Scallop shells, leaves and scrolls, frilly cartouches. More fanciful elements were integrated into the foundations of old to form, oftentimes, grandiose and eclectic combinations. Then came Art Nouveau, or New Art, arguably more movement than style, in which designers strove to break free from the rigid dependence on older models. What this meant, in short, was lots of wavy lines, which art historians can't help but refer to as sinuous. And so this style evokes flowing organic forms, such as plants, animals, insects, and female bodies. Similar to the Baroque style, Art Nouveau satisfied an increasing demand for comfort and luxury. The entrance of Hotel Krat is a mix and match of Art Nouveau elements. The stone and iron work features spirals and curly offshoots, suggestive of clinging tendrils. The glass and iron canopy curves over the entrance door, taking on the shape of a stingray. It's supported below by plant-like struts that stem from the heads of lampposts. The undulating shape of the canopy and asymmetric design of the posts are reminiscent of Guimard's entrances to the Paris metro stations. Flanking the path are miniature three-headed lampposts, like those seen along the Pont Alexandre Trois. Through this patchwork method of design, the game evokes the best hits of Belle Époque architecture. The hotel interior borrows from the palatial Beaux-Arts school of design. Candelabras, chandeliers, Moorish tiles, semi-nude statues, and the great-grandfather clock are just a few of the items on display. At the rear of the ground floor is a grand sweeping staircase that branches off to the upper floor. The opulent staircase and dripping lights could have used Garnier's opera for reference, also situated along a boulevard. Head upstairs and you'll find a more direct link to the opera house. The right-hand gallery is host to a curious sculpture. Two cherubs proudly display a coat of arms of a ship sailing on waves. This is the Parisian coat of arms, and this sculpture has been pillaged from the staircase of the opera. The art team must have really liked it, because it can be seen in abundance on City Hall. When it comes to Art Nouveau furnishings, a noteworthy item is this gramophone cabinet. Notice how the top half resembles the head of a tulip. The sinuous metallic mounts are done in the style of Louis Majorel. His furniture recognizable for its use of bold abstracted plant-like motifs. If you've collected the record from the Weeping Woman, you'll find more Art Nouveau-inspired eye candy. The decorative label for the vinyl is clearly inspired by the work of Alphonse Mucha, in particular his poster for Job Cigarettes. His artwork often depicted wispy women with long flowing hair, in long flowing robes, with long flowing gazes. Mucha was a master not just for his intricate line work, but his use of soft, delicate colors. Besides the use of one of his trademark women, the label also features stylized asymmetric letters and the decorative pattern with curling foliage, achieving the trifecta of Art Nouveau design. Paris was one of the first major cities to adopt electric streetlights, and in the 1890s, electric trams ran regularly along its boulevards. This partway explains the massive tramway running overhead, and the many bulb-light signs of Elysion Boulevard. This is where it becomes apparent, if it wasn't already, that this is theme park Paris. A jumble of vaudeville signs and quaint-looking shop fronts that serve as a fun quasi-historical backdrop to the main attraction. Just don't look too closely at the place, or you're bound to see double. The chapter ends outside the City Hall, a heavily ornamented building, brimming with broken pediments, classical columns, fancy finials, flags, banners, carvings, and about 1,000 cartouches. It could be loosely based on Leiden Town Hall in the Netherlands, or it could be an excuse for the art team to go wild with pity. It's hard to say. Before the plaza is a cruciform building that evokes the Gothic, and before that is the Alchemist's Bridge. For the source, one has to travel beyond Paris and France to the land of Hungary. The Liberty Bridge is a fin de siècle cantilevered span that sports a green painted iron framework, fringed with swirly Art Nouveau design. Notice how the Alchemist's Bridge has adopted the Liberty Bridge's design for its own nefarious needs. In place of the Hungarian coat of arms is an alchemical emblem. Most striking of all, though, is the swapping of the falcon-like trawl, the Hungarian national symbol, for a different mythical creature. Serpents curl brazenly above each pointed post. These animals are symbolic as well as decorative. Look back at the emblem, a large version of which can be found in the middle of the bridge. It shows a circular snake eating its own tail. This is the Ouroboros, a symbol of change, rebirth, infinity. The snake contains another symbol within it, the inverted symbol for blue vitriol. The game makes playful use of the color blue. So far we've seen it connected to a plague, a drink, a teleportation device, and a fairy. There's clearly a theme going on. The architecture tells a story. It's not always subtle, but that's fine because it fits with the times. With the first two chapters, Lies of P has carved for itself a niche. It's a nice niche, containing Gothic elements, opulent design, and mysterious motifs. Like the French Baroque style, it mixes and matches elements of the past to create something strikingly new. Whether it can sustain that inventive flair throughout its later chapters remains to be seen. I just hope it has an easy mode.